This is the 10th and final episode of this season for Atlanta, and I feel like we know you, but not really, you know, like we're bros, but not really bros. You get it, guys? Kind of? Okay, stay tuned. We're here for Atlanta.
It's too smooth.
I knew it was smooth, but I wasn't ready.
You wasn't ready for that?
I wasn't ready how smooth it was.
This is BHL After Dark, and we are here.
All we need is a lightning.
Yeah, if any of you guys didn't know what Aylin's her day job was, I think we do now.
Right?
Her night job.
We gotta turn the lights down.
Hello.
The
I was gonna say.
I know.
The music for this episode was pretty spectacular.
Everything.
We had my jam Broccoli in there. So
oh, yeah, we did.
I was really excited. Yeah.
Big budget.
Hey, guys. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me on the internet at Joel Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com. This is my lovely panel.
Guys, I'm kind of sad.
I'm like it.
This music, too. anyway, y'all know who I am. It's Jeff Graham. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. In case you guys didn't know, we're dual streaming right now, so AfterBuzz listeners, this is also the BHL show. Despite all that, Tehran is not here.
Oh, we miss you, Tehran.
He's actually performing for a bunch of like Middle Eastern diplomats.
He's
a stand-up comic, and that's all true what I just said.
Yeah.
It's a good reason not to be here.
Yeah, that is.
There's no such thing as a good reason not to be here.
Good luck. Yeah.
The YouTube commenters were a little upset.
I know. I was like, do you like him or do you hate him?
I was just like, don't give him his ego like anymore. I got really sad when you said this is the final episode of the season. But anyway, I am D'Angelo, and I got this blazer on because it's a special
hey,
today.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Brand new me. Anyway, follow me on Twitter at D'Angelo TV and on Instagram at D'Angelo.
Hello, and I'm so sad that this is it. But it's okay.
Let's bring it up.
Yeah, we're going to be in good spirits. But my name is Raylan Taylor, and you can find me on Twitter at Ray Taylor Gang, and then you can also go follow me on Instagram at Raylan Taryn. And we have a special guest here on our couch.
But a regular guest.
I mean...
Is he high?
He fam.
No.
Oh, me?
Yeah!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Chaos J, K-A-A-O-S-J. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at... Chaos _Oceans 31 Oceans
wide, because
your boy's so wavy.
I'm gonna miss that.
I don't know.
We'll be back in a year. The show has been renewed.
Better be.
Yes, truly. Donald Glover is gonna be not Han Solo, but God, take my nerd card away. It's just Lando.
Dark
Lando
Vader.
Carlissian.
Whoa.
I don't know.
What?
Vader, get us out.
Same war star movie.
I
would have flipped you guys off, but this is a family
y'all
panel,
my boys,
so I'm gonna do that.
But y'all like not my boys.
No, I thought
we
were
cool.
Not for real.
Yeah.
Do you think that him playing Lando will interfere with Atlanta season 2 at all?
Not at all.
Here's what I know about sci-fi. I thought there was a franchise called Star Trek.
I'm going to ask you to leave.
So I can't control it.
Can we just shout out the fact that Jeff got the first butt now, and we got a little bit of hair coming out.
Hey.
It's getting sexy. It's getting real sexy in here today.
If only it wasn't the pattern of a picnic blanket.
It picks up your complexion. It's so nice.
My girlfriend bought me this shirt.
It's a nice shirt. And I like the button down, you know.
And you could have used an iron.
It's a treat
for those of you listening. I'm wearing a pink gingham Banana Republic. You're fancy.
Just for the audio. Yeah.
But it was outlets, so it was $8, you know.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. We're trying to talk about this show.
What we're here for. Okay, so final episode is The Jacket, and we find Earn waking up pretty hammered.
In an
after party.
Yeah.
Which, you know, do you guys wake your boy up when you leave a party, or you just let him sleep it off?
No comment.
I don't sleep out at people's houses.
Right?
If I fall asleep,
I'm
lit.
Done.
Yeah.
However, if one of my friends falls asleep, leave no man behind. I'm waking you up.
Okay.
Or I'm dragging you out
something.
By your feet, something.
Which, Steve, really quick, we get the chat up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see our live participants.
Because they'd be turned. They'd be on it.
They'd be turned.
Yeah.
And it's our last episode.
Do you guys leave people behind? Because, see, I'm the friend that will fall asleep. Like, when it's time for me to go to bed, my body will not
invite
my brain.
I will be like, Joelle, Uber's outside.
I appreciate that.
No, that's a good point. I don't think I've ever stayed at a person I wasn't that cool with house. Mm-hmm. We usually go home.
Somebody wasn't that cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, somebody sober enough to get us back, you know, or to bring everyone together.
We always have the sober friend. Or we sleep in a group. You know what I mean? Like, I've done that before. Like, when I was in Chicago, and you know, that one friend with a car, you drive to the party, you sleep off your liquor, and then you drive home sober. I have slept in many a car.
We had to be savvy, too, because, like, if you got caught at Pepperdine drunk, you would, like, be suspended.
Oh,
it's, like,
God.
It's on campus, so you had to be, like, you know, you had to be sly. You had to have a plan on how to get back before you even went out.
I respect that. So Aaron gets left, and he's got to make his way back. Luckily, he has his wallet. When he said he lost his coat, I'm a very forgetful person. I was like, no, your whole life, your phone. But he kept it on him, so he's smart enough to get through that part of
it. I felt him, because that recently happened to me a few weeks ago. Lost my keys.
Broke your phone.
I dropped my phone in a sink full of water at the bar. It was...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I was like, dang, you can't find your jacket. Oh, I know that feeling.
Jade, quit it, man.
It's painful.
I'm just joking with guys.
So then we get him going on this kind of like mini adventure. I like that he stops at the strip club in the afternoon. I was upset we didn't get... It's Atlanta, so maybe strip clubs are different there. But in like rural Illinois where I grew up, where my town is bookended by two separate strip clubs, like a slightly classier one that all the truckers go to and the local one that all the junks go to.
Oh, the truckers go to the class.
Yeah.
Wow, that is some new knowledge that I've learned today.
I was just asking. I was restating what you said.
It is also a rest stop / adult bookstore. It's very classy.
Multifaceted.
The strip club has books in it?
It's an adult bookstore. It's not like literature.
I thought you meant like it's like strippers and then like the Great Gatsby. I was like, this is pretty classy.
Sometimes you want to improve your brain and your
They got a library.
Free
Wi-Fi. They got free Wi-Fi.
I was upset that there were no like afternoon stripper jokes because, you know, you have your like C roster. When you first open in the afternoon.
Yeah, they
didn't
get
any
good.
Of that. Yeah, no, the strippers were working it. We saw a little titty. It was kind of nice, you know.
Somebody might have rewinded something to see something again. I'm not going to put any names out there.
So we had to go back and make sure that we saw what we saw. It happened.
Yeah, we did see a little titty action.
We also saw, was she a dancer? Was she a bartender? Like... We saw her pressing up on her.
She's trying to get her coin.
She was trying to get that coin.
Singular.
She was, you know, she wanted to be in Paperboy's video.
Dang.
Yeah.
A lot of strippers do become
video girls.
Why not?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you see an opportunity, you're like, oh, that's the manager, too. Because the rapper will probably not call, but his manager might. So kudos to her. She's working it. TJ Smooth 16 reminds us those cow costumes, though. And yes, I totally skipped over the part where we assume a Chick-fil-A.
We assumed I was like, oh, it's Halloween.
Right, I thought it was Halloween as well.
But then they said free chicken sandwich, and I know Chipotle has a thing with on Halloween. If you come dressed, you get a free burrito. So I'm wondering if you dress up like a cow, you get a free chicken sandwich.
I actually know about this.
I don't know.
My brother-in-law lives in Atlanta.
Okay.
As does my sister, his wife. And Chick-fil-A is like a thing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because it was founded there. It's like
not know this.
Yeah,
wow.
So Chick-fil-A is like kind of an institution. It's like In-N-Out to LA is Chick-fil-A to Atlanta. So it's like it's a whole culture. Chick-fil-A is a whole culture.
Chick-fil-A is making its way to the West Coast.
Yeah, I hope.
Because people are like craving Chick-fil-A out here.
Oh.
I do not support Chick-fil-A, and it's homophobic bullshit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible people. So after he goes to strip club, which I like the whole interaction with the bouncer. This whole like you need $10 to get in.
Yeah, this is funny.
Last night I just want to find my jacket.
Petty.
But I can't believe you couldn't let dude in just to check the loss and found.
Like, you look, and then he opens the door and just. Not in there.
He was right.
Did you think he really looked, though, the second time when he went in there?
That's what I'm wondering. My guess is not. No, because here's what I do when people ask me for things that they could be doing themselves. I will just step aside and count, like, 1, 2, 3. We get to 20. It ain't there.
I've done that. You know what? Real talk. I've done that when I was working retail. Can you check and see if, you know, you have this size?
Yes, I will check in the back.
Oh my God, it's not in the back.
Like, hold on 1 second, let me go check, and then I might shout something out right before I put the phone down, and I do the same thing. And I'll wait, and I'll come back. I might go to the bathroom.
Oh, I worked at Abercrombie, so...
Get something to drink.
I was like, stock check,
back,
please.
I'm like, okay, and yeah, I check. And whatever they wanted, if they said, like, oh, you having a large, I'll come back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we have the 3X, then we have the medium and the small.
This is an elaborate story.
This is so detailed.
But I'm just saying, like, you gotta sell it.
It got real.
Okay.
Real
quick.
Get
through it.
So you gotta be elaborate with your lies.
All right. Yeah. I worked at a movie theater, did the same thing. Okay. I still have time. So Bouncer was petty. He goes in, he looks, it's not there. He doesn't ask for Lost and Found, which I think is silly, but okay.
Do they even have Lost and Found? Yeah, I guess they have them everywhere, huh?
Well, it's a Lost and Found. It's just a box in a corner.
It's right next to the library.
Is it really a Lost and Found? Or is it really just like, oh, look what they left?
Yeah, it's probably one of those.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the strip clubs operate. He leaves there, and this is when he starts checking. Okay, my favorite aspect of this episode is him checking the Snapchat from last night.
Oh my God, that is so me.
It resonates really well, but also shot super well.
Yeah.
I really like the way, like, it just felt like an actual snap. Like, just from the continuing videos. Oh, that's more Instagram. But that's okay.
No, it's a story, though. It's a story.
It's a story on Snapchat.
Oh, it's a Snap story. Okay.
Yeah. So this is, I really like, the thing I like about this show is that, like, it echoes the rhythms of a life we actually know.
Exactly. Like, that's what I was going to say.
Most TV we watch, like, kind of feels like life, but it's more like a heightened version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like presented to you.
Well, but then here's the funny thing, though. Sometimes Atlanta feels like it's just about life, and then sometimes it's like there's an invisible car that drives through the parking lot. Like, someone earlier mentioned the surreality of the show, like the surreal elements, and that's exactly what it is. Like, it's just like Donald Glover, and that some of his art is so something we recognize, and some of it is just so weird.
Yeah.
This episode, like a lot of episodes this season, had moments where the show wasn't really about anything, and then moments where the stakes were just insane.
Right. Truly,
exactly.
Truly.
So the Snapchat story was a perfect example of how the show captures something that's so
relatable
and like familiar to what we know. And hilarious.
Hilarious at the same time.
Our next couple of sequences are Paperboy and...
Darius.
Thank you. They meet up on the couch in the field, which I love as a visual aesthetic, but also...
I don't know if you guys noticed, to me, everything is, like, coming back to the first episode in a way. You know what I mean? Like, the couch is... Yeah, everything comes full circle.
To show us that they did give us a little bit of development.
I know.
I guess.
Or not, because everything's
the same.
That's my last question for y'all. Save it. Darius and Paperboy have a really great conversation on the couch as Ern is trying to talk to the Uber driver about where this jacket is, about sushi being fake and how sunflowers need to stay open. And I really like this idea of being in the foreground but not being able to be heard.
Just from a
comedy scene.
It's like hilarious.
It's like right in your face, but you can barely hear. You kind of have to watch that scene twice
to
pick up all the little
And to think they thought about this before, like, filming. You know, like, this was intentional. So I was like, this is just
And we definitely
genius.
Have conversations like that about, like, sunflower season flavors.
Well, and it's like, it's a real nice and well-written dialogue between these two characters. Mm-hmm. Like, What?
I wonder if it was improvised.
Man.
I wonder if some things
were. It could be. It could be improvised.
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say it's written.
Yeah.
I feel like this, because there's just so much rich dialogue in there, I just feel like this, granted,
they would have had to ADR it.
We've seen great improvers, but that right there.
Well, here's a couple things. One, they would have had to ADR it, and they're out of ADRs when you record the voiceover later, since Ern is talking and he's the central focus.
Right.
So they could have done it, and since their faces aren't in focus, it would be really easy just to slap literally whatever dialogue over the top of this shot. So I'm not 100% sure how they did it, but I really like this moment between these two characters, just hearing like how they shoot the breeze. Find the jacket, they go to the Uber driver's house, and Paperboy gets this feeling all of a sudden. Now, does anyone have that friend who can sense trouble?
It's definitely not me.
It's not me either, but my brother is that guy.
Is he?
Like, all of a sudden, he'll just sit up and he'll be like...
I think nobody in my friends have that instinct.
You need that friend. That friend is everything.
I've gotten that before, but every time, or for me, every situation I've been in, that person, there's always someone that's like, man, Kale, stop. You tripping. You don't know what you're talking about.
You ignore that friend.
And they shut it down.
Ignore that
and
friend.
And then afterwards, way after the fact, after some stuff gone, you know, goes down, the next thing you know, like, he was actually kind of right.
No, my brother is, like, bullheaded and super strong. Huh. And he'll get a feeling and he'll just sit up and be like, we need to leave now. We need to go. And, like, 85% of the time, like, cops will show up or some kind of crazy-ass fight breaks
Maybe
out.
Maybe I've just never been like, in any type of these situations.
But I'm also the kind of person that's, like, observing literally everything.
Because I'm trying to think, like, damn, have I really been like, damn, we should have left when we should...
I have once or twice. And really? Both times I was like, Lego! And I just, like, yeah, I'm never that guy.
But that's also, like, I feel like... Because, like, I feel like all my friends are like that. That's product of, like, where you grew up. You know?
Yeah, that might be true.
Like, when I walk home, when I was walking home from high school, like, of course I'm trying to see what's going on. And, like, I feel like you don't lose that once you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Justin, only black boy in our town. So, you know, if the police show up, he's going down first. So, he was very aware. Very yeah. prepared.
Yeah.
Let's see. Easter Blue Juice says, I got really scared for a second when Paperboy started sensing something wrong. I thought they were about to get shot.
That's what I did. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh my God, is he going to get killed?
Because we were set up for an arrest.
In the beginning.
Totally.
I know.
So I was like, oh, they tried to kill
him. Well, even
revenge.
Like, even, we, you know what they never revisited? That moment where...
my guy came up to the door.
Yeah, he had the mask on. He's like, you Paperboy, and he just ran away. Like,
the
you,
Batman mask. Yeah.
Y'all don't remember that? I thought about that. I was like,
oh, he coming
back. They about to come in. Like, we about to get that explained. Or
a lot of
like
unresolved things that I want to make sure we talk about before we end today. Because there's so much.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up because we're getting pretty close. So, the Uber driver turns out to be a drug dealer who is then shot by the police.
F money! That's
crazy. Which earns brazenness of just being like, can you check the pockets? They just fired those guns. Like, my reaction is like, how far away can I get from this point? I was surprised that he's just ballsy enough. Just be like, yeah, can you check the pockets?
I'm a dead man.
Right. I mean, it's your jacket. I get it.
But it's on a dead man.
I don't care, but it was his jacket and what he had in that pocket.
It's all bloody.
So they do wind up leaving. He's bummed. You can find what he's looking for. And he's like, Paperboy gives him like a giant roll of money, which you're kind of supposed to. First of all, he says it's your 5% or whatever. You should definitely get 10% if you're a manager. Just so you know, if that's the thing you're going down.
Maybe Paperboy is saying like he ain't earned his other 5% yet. He hasn't earned it yet. So
So he gets his money or whatever. And then he goes back to Van, and I like that Paperboy's kind of making fun of him. He was like, oh, and go play daddy babysitter, daddy daycare. That's it. You know, but it's so clear to me in this moment that Earn is like. Like, as soon as I saw him go back to Vance, I was like, I get it. Like, I get the character development for this whole season, and I loved it. We'll talk about it at the end, but it's really cute to see him with his family, with those nice shots. We get them chilling on the couch, which...
Cooking dinner.
Warm, gooey hearts of just love and adoration.
The Swift character comes back. Well, Swift, we're introduced to him now, because at first, I don't think I knew his name throughout the entire season, but I liked him. I thought he gave good comic relief throughout this whole entire season.
Yeah.
I liked him, so I'm glad we got to see him.
Conversation?
Huh?
I can't believe you when he's in the
car. I loved his character, so I'm glad I got to see him one last time before the season ends. So.
Yeah. I like that his name is Justin, but he wants to be called Swift. So Van says, you know, you could stay if you want. You don't have to leave. And Aaron, without giving me an I love you, which I really wanted from him.
Right?
I wasn't getting that.
So rude.
Helpless romantic.
But he's like, you know, it's good. I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves. And then we find out that at some point, maybe before the show started or... you know, in between episodes, he's been staying at a...
storage unit.
Yes. How did this last scene hit you guys?
Mm. Oh, go on, Chaos, because you're so wavy.
Right.
Over there.
You know, for me, it reminded me of when I first got to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and all the stuff I went through. And at one point, I had actually entertained. I had bought a storage unit because I relocated, so I had a lot of stuff. But I didn't, you know, I was still trying to find a job. I barely had, just like I was living off of some unemployment. So I was trying to come up with, you know, like, where am I going to stay? Because the hotels were too expensive. And I thought about staying in a storage unit. I was like, you know what? I can get a gym membership, get fresh at the gym, mm-hmm. I can get the storage unit with a power outlet, press my clothes, do what I gotta do, nobody being none the wiser.
Right.
And you, and I mean, you make do with what you can get. So for me, I was like, yes, I've been there. I didn't have to sleep in the storage unit, but I could relate.
To me, I felt like this was a point of the show where I kind of felt Earn is that dedication that we've been looking for, or like something deep within him. I saw it here, because I feel like the reason he's in this storage unit is because he doesn't want to go back to Van or his family until he's all the way together. Because I feel like he has a lot of pride. He doesn't want to go home with just like, you know, half-assed. Like, he wants to go, like, if he's going to go back home, he's going to go full circle. He's going to have everything together and provide for his family like he wants to.
I'm not a huge fan of this term, but I really feel like manning up is a really appropriate term for what Earn is doing.
Right.
I felt like a giant swell of pride in my chest. I was like, get it, Earn. Because it would have been so easy to say, like, he loves his family.
Exactly.
It's very clear. I mean, he could have gone back to Paperboy and Darius's and hung out. He didn't have to, but he's trying to get on his...
both of them to stay.
Yeah, but he's trying to get on his own grind, feet. He wants to be on his own, and now that Paperboy is going to be going on tour, that definitely means, you know, heavy cash. The fact that he gave her all but $200, like, he's kept $200 for himself. That probably pays, you know, for the unit, some food, like maybe a new pair of sneakers. You got like $20 left, and you go to Payless. Like, that's it. That's all. It's all he took for himself. He's trying to provide... And I think, as you said earlier, going back to episode one where he's holding his daughter on the bus, you know, and that guy's telling him to, like, wake up and look the world around him. I feel like we come full circle. We see the whole entire journey he had to go through. And it also reminded me of the episode where Darius takes him, like, all of his money, and they buy, like, a dog. And they get rid of the dog. And he's like, oh, you gotta invest now so you can have more later.
Yeah.
Right.
It's about taking that step back. They hit me really hard.
I feel like he's investing in himself now. And also, too, like, this kind of brought me back to this movie. I don't know if you guys have seen Whiplash, but I love Whiplash. And, like, in the scene where he was breaking up with his girlfriend and telling her, like, you know, right now I can't be with you because I'm trying to be perfect. And in order for me to be perfect, I can't have any distractions. And I feel like he's not, like, you know, cold turkey where he's not going to completely cut off Van and his family. But he's at the point where he's really just on his grind. He's trying to be focused, as he can.
Right, he's trying to improve himself.
Yeah.
So he can be a better man for her.
Exactly.
And for his baby. Yeah, definitely respect that. And and I was happy for him seeing it, even though he's sleeping in the storage unit, it's his unit.
Exactly.
You know, it's his thing. He's finally got his own.
Yeah, I could relate. I could relate to, like, a lot of that whole scene. You know what I mean? It comes... like a twofold thing from the focusing on an ambition standpoint, but also the pride in the little that you do have. Like, I have this little O2 Civic that was, like, my first car that I bought, but, like, I have so much pride. That's my baby. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's, like, it's not much, but it's also, like, all right, this is a starting point, and it's also a reminder, okay, this
also,
is just the
when
beginning.
When you earn something, it's so much sweeter. Yeah. Like, when it's yours and you get it, like, it just nobody could tell you shit about it. You're like, no.
Yeah.
I got this. That's mine.
Yeah.
What I liked, though, was that, like, in a way, it showed us... You mentioned, like, it showed us his journey and how far he's come, but it also shows us how far he hasn't come. I think it's the perfect way to show us that, like, there's growth, and, like, because that's what I've been asking for.
Doesn't come fast, because a lot of people think that a lot, you know, being successful or trying to get success comes fast. I don't even know whose story that I was, like, listening. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I could just throw out, like, 2 Chainz, for example. Like, he's been in the rap game for a long time. A lot of people don't know Titty Boy like that. They don't know. And, like, now to where he's at right now is, like, such a big level, but he put, like, a lot of years and time into it.
Yeah.
So you have to put a lot of time and years into whatever you're trying to do so that, you know, you can be the best.
Right.
And that's what he's going to have to do.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll see it season 2.
Amen.
I'm really looking forward to season 2. The chat has devolved into something about sandwiches. I have no idea what you guys
it's are because
talking about.
He's talking about on the bus episode that guy who was
sandwich.
Can you tell a sandwich?
I'm with y'all again. Okay, thank you.
Oh, no.
Preston's
fun time just broke my heart.
Yes! Cubs win, y'all! We're still in it! Sorry.
I'm from Cleveland. And she's
repping
from Chicago.
I have zero time for you. Thank you, Preston Fun Time. This is Fun Times for me, and I really appreciate it. I also want to check out East Blue Dream says, I get that, but staying with your family would be a lot better than living with them because of pride.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's definitely address that. I think that for, and you know, black men in the room can correct me.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of black men, if you're not earning, you're not the head of your household, and you're not kind of running. It's better to be financially solvent and able to take care of yourself before you go back and take care of your family.
I also think it's a respect thing too. And he wants Van's respect.
Exactly.
He doesn't want her to, you know, he wants her to see him as the man that he wants to be for himself and for her. And he needs to be able to get his ducks in a row so that when he comes to her, you know, she respects him. You know, like, that was a moment right there when they were on the couch, and she said, you know, like, you know, you're a good dad.
Yeah.
You know, because before, she wasn't really feeling like that.
Right.
Yeah, I think last episode really helped them in their, the steps in their relationship of being like, why are we even together? Do we even like each other? And going to that party.
So I guess that is a little bit of, like, character development. It's just very minimal. Like, it's in the episodes, but it's like, you know.
It's like a lot happened, but nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's kind of
like life. Yeah.
Exactly.
What?
Well, and like, I liked that this episode was about Earn. Like, I really feel like this is kind of, since the pilot, the first episode that really was about Earn.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the most we've learned about him throughout, as far as who he is as a character and what he wants out of life. Dewan, and Onley says, what happened to that guy Paperboy shot? We don't know yet.
All the unanswered questions.
Which is actually what I thought the cops are rolling up to do.
Me too.
I was like, oh crap. Like, they've been in jail. Yeah, like, bailed out. And it's been so in the backs of their minds and in the backs of the show's mind that maybe they're going to bring it all together. I was like, are we going court case in the final, like, episode? That'd be crazy.
I know. That's what I was thinking,
I'm really glad we didn't go that way.
Yeah. This was way better. In my opinion. So
I hope they pick up the storyline, though, in season two.
I don't know about you guys, though. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I am still, like, I don't know if you were going to touch on this, but Earn in the headphones, because, like, we're saying a lot of things that happened in the first episode to this one. So I'm, like, wondering, what is, like, is it the headphones of him just listening to music, or is he really, like, cooking up something?
I think it's just, like, I mean, that's how I go to sleep.
Music. Yeah.
Like, you just drown everything just, like, else out.
Yeah.
But Aaron also lives in a solitary world. And that's kind of how I picture the headphones. Like, we never see him writing anything down or even, like, kind of, like, mouthing at when he rapped the lyrics. I really feel like this is him being like, I don't want to deal with anybody else or talk to anybody else, and I just put my headphones on and I don't have to...
So you zone out, getting your thoughts.
This show's not what I thought it was going to be at all. Like, I think from the pilot, I thought this show was going to be about two feuding rappers.
Right.
I thought it was going to be Earn and Paperboy.
Really?
Yeah, that's really what I thought it was
going to be. Interesting. No. That's why you went your, like, you were talking about you went conflict. And like,
oh, but see, I like the show as is. I maybe because I know Childish Gambino, I thought that we were going to see him rap. Like, I thought that was going to be something we saw, but it doesn't seem like it.
Eastwood, you guys are really... I'm sorry. Present Funtime says, what are your favorite episodes of the season? Do you guys want to each take that one? You have favorite episode?
Well, Preston Funtime just said it. The club episode was my favorite.
Of course it was.
I love the club episode. But I'm trying to think, because I feel like, damn, 10 episodes, I feel like I can only think about, like...
It's probably this one. I feel like I say that every week. Every week, like, the most recent episode.
Yeah.
But this one, because of how we see each character now, like, you know what I mean, just seeing a little bit more about Earn and getting to see Earn and Van, like, be a regular for a little bit. Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
The Black Network television episode was my favorite.
Actually, that one was a really good one.
The commercials with just the political commentary on top of, like, the transracial guy who wanted to become white and has a terrible, like, bank job. Just calling out Rachel Dolezal and all of her shadiness, like... That episode gave me, like, my whole life. And I do like the club episode. I even like last week's episode a lot.
I love last week's.
Two different,
and
like...
And I was going to say, those... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I come from two different black... Both my parents are black, but they have very different financial backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so seeing that, I was like, I get this. Yeah. It just connected.
And I was just going to piggyback off of what you said. Those were my favorite episodes, too, was episode 6. I believe it was Montague, and then the last week's episode, and this one. I mean, those were probably my... Oh, and the club. I love the club.
I'm glad you brought up... I lost my train of thought. It'll come back. What I was going to say, my favorite episode of the season, I think, was Nobody Beats the Biebs.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Nobody Beats the Biebs.
I think
what
I was
good.
I was going to mention, I'm glad you mentioned Black Network Television.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Because I think that episode said so much. Like, I think that episode will probably show up on a lot of lists as, like, the best episode of TV.
Yeah, that is.
For me, I thought it almost said too much that I was like, I wish it would have been a little more subtle, maybe.
Oh, no, never.
But I love, I also love that it brought so much. I mean, like that episode was just, to see that on TV was so cool.
Well, Boondocks, that's why I think that's the episode where I was like, it reminds me of Boondocks, because Boondocks had an episode about, like, commentary on BET, like, too. So it was like, it really reminded me of
that. But for Nobody Beats the Beavs, that had the subplot with Darius at the gun range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which was, I think, for me, the best thing I saw.
I see how you like your TV. When you say subtle, I'm like, what? I get it now. That scene is super subtle, but it's also hilarious. Yeah. Right,
yeah. I think that, for me, when I think about it now, my favorite episodes are probably the ones that I feel like relate to me personally, I guess, like on a personal level, like the club. Like you say, I can relate. The whole Jade, when Jade came into town and was talking to Van.
I love that episode.
You know, that episode too was good. Nobody Beats the Beebs, because like I'm like really into, you know, music. So I was like, oh, I know, like, you know, the whole pop culture
episode.
Yeah. So like the ones that are more relatable and that I could like really understand. There were like, that was like, wow, I actually lived through this. Like, you know what I mean? And it gave me a different perspective on things too. So, yeah, those are my favorite episodes.
And the chat can answer this as well. Do you guys feel the show put out a statement that, or Donald Glover put out a statement that what he wanted for the show was to show aspects of Black culture that, you know, people outside of that culture didn't know existed, and he wanted to put it on TV. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, I knew that the show was going to be for me. Mm-hmm. And I know if you've listened to any of Donald Glover's music, as Childish Gambino, particularly because of the internet, you get a lot of flavors of that. Mm-hmm. But I think the show is kind of, so far, his magnum opus on these statements of, like, Black culture is not what is presented to you.
Right.
So for me, obviously, I think that they did achieve their goal, but how do you guys feel about it?
Yeah,
I feel like we definitely get characters, and I was just talking about this with my mom, like, even the last episode we saw was Monique, and she's a character that, it's not even characters that other people don't know, it's characters that we as Black people know, but we don't see them on television, so it's finally like, oh my god, here's, you know what I mean, like, somebody we know, so it's like familiar, it's like, you know, it's cool, go ahead.
That was interesting you said that, because, like, one of the most interesting comments I saw last week was when someone, because I feel like last week we were saying that her persona wasn't part of Black culture. And so one of them was saying, like, is this part of Black culture just because she didn't, like, rap?
I read that comment, and I completely agree that this is just Black culture. I wasn't saying that she wasn't a part of Black culture.
I thought we said she removed herself.
And I said that it was shady that her reaction was, oh, you do rap. You don't have to like rap to not shade somebody for, like, working in rap. And that, to me, was what was offensive. Not the fact that, you know, she married a white guy, or the fact that she thought herself above other Black people.
Yeah.
But the fact that she just demeaned him for, like, creating music.
Well, I think, like, before you say whatever you're about to say.
No, you're good.
I think the way I took it from it was, like, just because someone questions rap doesn't make them any less or more part of Black culture.
That is fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which totally challenged me.
So. It was a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
I should say, I like Preston Fun's comment real quick.
Of course.
He said, I love this show, but I feel like it could be so much better and need to be more episodic. Did you guys like that?
I disagree 100%.
Yeah. No, because... go ahead. No, go ahead.
What I like about the show is that it doesn't fit a mold. What I like about the show is that it pushes the boundaries of what we consider television and what we consider... Like, we were just talking about how it mirrors life. I think an episodic show puts this too much in a box. What makes it stand out is how it's presented. It seems like a series of vignettes from someone's life, and yet it still works and is tied together. So I like the way it was presented.
You know why, too? A lot of times, like when, like you were saying, like a Boondocks or something like that, they put it in a cartoon way because they don't want, you know what I mean? If it's with actual people, it seems like, oh, it's too real. It's too, you know what I mean? And sometimes with those adult cartoons, they're talking about touchy subjects that are like real life subjects, but it's a cartoon saying it. So it's like, oh, okay.
Right,
but now, it's a little more
digest.
Like easy to digest, but this is actual real people telling us real issues that are happening today. Yeah. So it's more like, oh, like this is, you mean? So I like it. I think it's different. We don't have that now on TV.
And that's something I was going to say, and that's what I liked about the series, was that I felt like for people that, I mean, for you know, being Black, for me, I was like, yes, I could relate. But I felt like for people that weren't privy to Black culture, it gave them an inside look. And then if nothing else, it was a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, if we're sitting here watching it and you're not, if you don't understand, you can just say, hey, is, you know, is that real or is that true or does it go down mm-hmm. like that or is, mm-hmm. you know, or what does this mean? And so that way it will start dialogue about things and ultimately for the goal of, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is how it is on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
It's not any worse or any better. This is how it is on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. So that's what I liked.
And I applaud Donald Glover for using his platform to show this, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because he kind of already had his foot in, I wouldn't say like the white community, but you know, he wrote for 30 Rock. He's done a lot of stuff. And you know, a lot of, cause you know what I mean? We talked about this earlier for being a celebrity who's known by the black community as far as being a celebrity who's known by the black community and the white community. Mm-hmm. So he already kind of got a little pull. So for him to be like, you know what? I already have a little pull. Why don't we just like put out this show and then, you know what I mean? Expose mm-hmm. what's really happening. So I applaud him for doing that.
It's interesting. I agree with you guys 90%. I think I loved that the show didn't necessarily follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I wish we would have seen a little more plot.
Mm.
Like, I feel like a show like The Wire did what this show did, mm-hmm. but also told such a good story.
But this is not The Wire, though. I feel like that's a really unfair comparison. Like, The Wire has to be episodic because they're solving cases.
It's like, they're not always solving cases. Like, I mean, like,
wait,
I guess...
The chat is saying that this is a serious Black Seinfeld.
made a statement where he said something like, oh, it's, you know, like it's about something but it's about nothing, or it's about nothing but it's about nothing. And that's what the Seinfeld show
was.
It was a show about nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So true.
Y'all are my favorite people.
That was crazy. A serious black
Seinfeld. Because in my head I'm comparing it to Black Jesus, which to me is probably the closest show on TV to it. Just in that it's a completely immersed in Black culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some comedic moments, but it's got some serious moments. Black Jesus has far less serious moments, but it's similar in tone, a half hour, a group mm-hmm. of friends. But Seinfeld is better, so you guys win.
I think, if I could go back really quick to what I think, like, The Wire, what I liked was there was one case, and that was the season.
Yeah.
And everything else, like, because I even feel like with The Couch, I don't know if you guys watched The Wire or not.
Yes.
But I feel like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I thought that was maybe calling to The Wire a little bit.
Here's
an example. Donald Glover called it Twin Peaks with rappers.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, we always had Laura Palmer in Twin Peaks, mm-hmm. no matter what. Like, that was always, even the episode where the midget talks backwards in a dream sequence, you're always thinking, like, but this is here. Mm-hmm. I kind of, in season two, want there to be, like, a but this is here. To ground what we're seeing.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But I also, just like the comment of, I feel like it could be better.
But don't you feel like Atlanta is the character, though?
Yeah.
Like, this is here. It's Atlanta. Like, it's Ernest is our way in, and it's a weird fish out of water story because he's from Atlanta and these are his people, but it's clear he doesn't feel involved or like the same as anyone else. He's mm-hmm. different. So I feel like the thing that grounded it for me was the fact that it was Atlanta, that we're getting all of these, like...
Well, and things. Just, like, the idea of different sides of Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might hate it. I might hate it if it was more plotty. But I think for season two, I'd be interested in a little more story.
I mean, I would be upset to see more Van and Aaron together.
Yeah.
Darius, you know. Make it an hour in season two. Just change all
maybe,
the rules.
I feel like it should be
do
an hour.
Do you think so?
I also do, too.
I feel like... Less is more.
I know. I might hate it, but it's something I've thought a couple times. Like, I don't know.
I feel like maybe an hour if it was a different type of, like, I don't know.
I think.
Like, if it was more serious, less comedy.
Okay. I was going to say, as much as I would like an hour,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I feel like an hour is...
It's
I feel
a
like
lot.
That 3-minute block leaves you wanting more.
Because it's only so much to be said on a, you know, such a hot topic of, like, each week. Right. You know what I mean? Because, like, they say they don't make you feel. Yeah.
Afterwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot
that
of content.
That is true.
Yeah. It kind of feels like Girls to me. I don't know if you guys watched that show.
I tried. It's like, they say that it's like a broke Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Please don't ever compare the show to Girls.
Do you not like Girls?
They say that it's like a broke Sex in the City.
Look, I just have a lot of issues with Girls, but that I can't get into right now because we are running low on time.
We'll talk later.
Okay,
we'll talk later. Just feel like the low concept culture show. Like, the format and, like, the plotlessness and, like, the character-centric half-hour dramedy feel.
I'm just going to say that I see your point and move forward. Yes, this has been Atlanta. We've done, I feel like is there anything else you guys wanted to say about the show or about what your hopes for season two are or anything like that?
I just hope that we're all together as a family for season two. Yeah.
This has been a really kick-ass panel. I'm so sad.
So, yeah.
How about this as a finale? Just really quick. What did you guys think of this episode as a finale?
As a finale? It was good. It was a mess.
I want to be critical of it because I hate most everything I watch it or have really strong feelings about it. But I really couldn't imagine a better ending to the season that we were given. Yeah. I think it wrapped everything up pretty nicely. The loose ends that it did leave, I think, will be picked up
enough. Yeah, it wasn't like a big like cliffhanger. Yeah. It was like, I wonder what's gonna happen.
Well, and we get a full almost a 180 on Aaron, just going from being dependent on everyone to not really knowing what he wanted. So when he gets the call about from Senator K, to me, something in him is like, yes, let's get on this money. You're gonna go on tour. I'm gonna start promoting more people. Like, I just feel like he's where we wanted him to be in episode 3. But it takes time, as you said, to get further ahead.
I think, and that's the realistic part that he's trying to put, because everybody's trying to get on, either trying to be a singer, a rapper, or whatever. But it takes time. It's not quick, so that's one thing that he's trying to.
Success is a 10-year success.
Yeah, really, for real.
Every time, I was happy. Do you have any final thoughts?
I mean, it's kind of just a retread of everything you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. I like the way there were a lot of things that came full circle. Because we were, in the beginning of the episode, the very first episode, he had made a comment about being homeless, but sleeping in the bed with Van. And, we still saw, a connection there.
Yeah.
And then we lost that midway through the season. And then now, with last week's episode where he kind of saved the day at the end of it all. And then to, him coming home or going to her house and making dinner and then cuddling on the couch. And she's like, stay. And he's like, nah, girl, I got to go.
And he got his 5%.
For me, that was what I wanted. That full circle was what I wanted. But at the same time, you see where, Al didn't really want him. He's like, man, you ain't my manager just because you dress up like a sixth grader. And, and then now he's accepted him in that role as his manager. He's accepted that, okay, I can benefit from him being my manager. But at the same time, he can benefit from managing me. And we can work together and we can both, reach our goals. Whereas he was kind of reluctant, like, man, I ain't rocking with you in the beginning. And it was kind of just a little bit of a tug of war.
Yeah.
So I like the way those things kind of came together.
Yeah, all the relationships that kind of seemed struggly kind of came together a little bit.
Or they were at least addressed.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We haven't seen Earn and his parents, though.
Yeah, I want to see that. I love his parents.
Please bring those parents back. Bring the parents back. The most male black parents I've ever seen on TV. Princeton. I loved them. So
well, I don't know that guy's name, but he's good in everything he does. And he's the one that, the guy that plays his dad is the one that always says, she. that's his signature. Sure. Like, I definitely want to see some more of him and see a little bit of his, some dialogue with him because he's funny.
Right on.
Do you guys think, I saw Emmy noms for this show. What do you guys think?
I'll be really disappointed if we don't at least get one or two writing Emmy.
Do you know what I think? Yeah. I think we'll get a directing Emmy nom for Hero.
You know, that would also be...
His direction, to me, that was the strongest component of the show.
And, remind me of Paperboy's real life name.
Brian Tyree Henry. Henry. Yeah.
Someone give him all the awards. I know. Just throw awards at his feet. Yep. Like, he's stunning.
Seriously, make
his
brain awards.
If I see Paperboy out in real life, I would probably quote... how that guy did in the club scene was when he came out to him. I'm gonna be
real awkward,
saying
too.
Script lyrics hey, remember when you said in Atlanta that one time, paper boy, all about that paper.
he looked so awkward. He had that blank stare.
I would probably
face.
Do that. He'd probably girl,
but,
you need to.
There's a lot of times where you'll see an actor on something and you're like, oh, I love him. But then you see him in real life during an interview or something, and you can see the similarities.
Right.
At least for me, when I saw Brian Tyree Henry doing interviews, I saw no similarities at all. He was a completely different person.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that boy good.
He went to Yale, which is where Meryl Streep and Lupita Nyong'o also got their stuff. So he clearly got the goods. But we've got to go, unfortunately. We'd love to stay here and talk to you guys all night, but it's time to wrap this shit up. So I'm Joelle. You can find me every week at blackgirlnerds.com, everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique. If you head over to blackgirlnerds.com right now, you can see my review of Doctor Strange. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much. We hope to see you again next year. If there's anything left unresolved that we didn't talk about that you want to hear, comment. Also, really quick, AfterBuzz fans, this is also a Black Hollywood Live produced show, so check out that channel. BHL fans, check out AfterBuzz TV. If you like TV, we cover every single show just like this on our feed. My name is Jeff Graham. You guys can find me on Twitter, Jeffrey C. Graham. I hope to see you soon.
Yeah. Yo, thanks for joining us all season. It's like we have a family.
This is a great
Even
great
the commenters, family. The commenters are like part of a family. So we appreciate all of y'all.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter at D'Angelo, D'Angelo TV, and then at Instagram on D'Angelo.
I'm Raylan. I just want to say that this is my first ever time doing a panel ever. So, and working with AfterBuzz and BHL. So I'm super excited. I love you guys. You guys will always be my family. And season two, we're going to come back and we better. And you can find me on Twitter at Ray Taylor Gang. And you can find me on Instagram at Raylan Taren. And we can't forget about Mr. Mister on the couch.
And you already know, Chaos J, shout out to Teron. He's not with us right now. You can find me on Twitter at KAAOSJ. And you can find me on Instagram at Chaos_Oceans31. You can also find Teron on Twitter at
I am Teron.
You can find him on Instagram at I am Teron. Holding it down. And shout us out. You know, hit us up. You got comments. You want to talk about it. Let's do it.
All right.
See you next season. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
We gotta have our debate.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.